I'm just not very good at following directions, I guess. Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Before I get into preaching, I would like to lift up Bobby's family. Bobby Knight's nephew was shot in the drive-by shooting last night out in Oklahoma. So we pray for him. His nephew's father-in-law was killed at the same time. The nephew's living, but we need to pray that he'll heal. It's shot with a shotgun with slugs, so it's kind of a tough thing. It's hard for the family. It's hard for everything going on there. So just, if you would, put Bobby and Leanne on your prayer list this week and lift them up as they have to help with this or deal with it. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we lift Bobby's family up to you. Father, we ask, first of all, for the healing for his nephew, that Lord, that you'll just touch him, heal him, that his body will heal quickly, that he'll be able to recover fully from the shooting that happened. And Lord, we ask for your power, your presence in the family. Lord, that they'll be able to feel your presence, feel your love. Lord, that you'll just surround them with your people, with godly people that can minister to them and just help with the healing process. Father, no, we don't know why, we don't know any of that, but we ask, Lord, that you would just intervene, take care of that situation, and bless them. Now, Father, as we come before you to hear the word, we ask, Lord, that you will, that I'll say only what you would have me to say this morning. And Lord, that we will have ears to hear what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I finally, this might be one of the first times I've had a title before Thursday so she could print it in the bulletin. He Who Has Ears to Hear is the title of the message today. All through Scripture, as I've been reading, I come across verses that say, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what God is saying." He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So I want to look at some of that today. Let's begin in John chapter 8. I ran across it first in my daily devotions last week, and I thought, well, you know, we read a lot about that. Why do we? And then I got to thinking about, maybe Patsy says I don't listen. And perhaps that's the way we are with God. We don't really listen to what he's saying. So we don't hear what he's saying because we're not listening. In chapter 8 of John, beginning at verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" That is really an awesome verse right there in itself. Is that then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the thing that is so important here in verse 31, it says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So we have to know what he's teaching us, don't we? We have to understand what he's teaching. And to do that, we have to spend time in the Word. We have to hear the Word to be able to know what he's teaching us. But the Jews here, says, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things, but you are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God Himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and know, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me? Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? You who belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And that's the verse that really hit me when I was reading through. We don't hear God. It's because we don't belong to Him. We have to spend time with Him to be able to hear Him. As I've become a Gideon, I've begun to get into the Word. That's really what got me started spending time in the Word, was being in the Gideon ministry. That's one of the things that they stress to us really hard, is we have to spend time in the Word. And so that's what got me involved in reading the Bible every day and spending time with the Father. And that's how I got to know Him, and that's how we all get to know Him. I was sharing with a brother this week. I went to look at a job with a fellow that we used to go to church with, and he said he asked me to pray for him. He hasn't been walking with the Lord, and I told him, I said, the only way that you can get closer to the Lord is to spend time in the Word. He said, I don't have time. I said, you have to make time. You have to make time. I said, you cannot neglect that time. That is the most important part of my day. Without spending time in the Word, your day just doesn't go right. So I start my day that way. And you can too. I don't like to hear anybody say I don't have time, because I used to think I didn't have time either. All you got to do is get up a half hour earlier or an hour earlier. However much time you want to spend with Him, get up that much earlier and start your day with Him. Because there's not time the rest of the day. You have to make it. You have to make that time. But as we spend that time with Him, we get to know Him. We learn to love Him. We learn to trust Him. And so, he who belongs to God, verse 47, just underline this one, guys, in chapter 8 of John, verse 47. He who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. I read stories of Abraham and some of the men of old, and how God talked to them and they heard Him, and that's what I want in my life. And I don't know if Abraham's any different than we are, but Abraham's spiritual man was alive, and we talk to God in the Spirit. It's our spiritual man that hears God and talks to God. And I would love it if God would speak to me in the natural. I've never heard that. I'd love to. Don't know if it'll ever happen. But then I wonder if I wanted to, because when Moses and the children of Israel, when they heard God, it said it sounded like thunder. And they couldn't stand to be in the presence of God because it was so powerful. You know, when he came down in the cloud, it was so powerful. They hid their faces. So maybe I don't want to see him in the natural man as they did then, but as spiritual beings. And that's what we are as Christians, as spiritual beings. We have to believe that we're walking in the Spirit. And so he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8 and 32 to 36. This one, these verses here in Proverbs, and most of you know that Proverbs was written by Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible time, when the Bible was written. Talked a lot of wisdom, and says, "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death." So these verses are imploring us to listen. Listen to what the Father says. Listen to what he's telling you. And this whole chapter of Proverbs is talking about wisdom. It's titled in the beginning of mine, Wisdom's Call, talking about how we can get wisdom, how we can become wise as we walk with the Lord. So he's just telling us here to hear what he has to say and to listen to him. And then on over in Proverbs chapter 15. Verses 30 and 31. Seeing a lot of good stuff here in this one that's underlined. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. Again, talking about listening. And I better read the last two verses there as well. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So listen to what he's saying. And now I want to go to James chapter 1. Back to the New Testament again. James chapter 1, and this is the talking about listening and doing. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that's planted in you, which can save you. Talking about the value of the word of God. It's so important in our lives. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Jess has been noticing that as I get a little older, I forget things pretty quick at work. I'll get a measurement and go from what I measured back to the pile and measure something different on the pile and bring it over and it doesn't fit. What's going on here? So we do, we forget pretty quick, don't we? But if we just read the word and don't do what it says, it's like a man looks in a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. Turn around from the mirror and don't remember what I look like, I better look again. So we have to do what it says. We have to pay attention. But the man who looks intently, I'm on verse 25 now, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. His religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's a big job in itself, to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. We've got so many influences on us all the time from the world that we have to pay attention to so that we can do what God wants us to do. I don't want to finish up today in Revelation. I don't know how many of you remember the letters to the churches in Revelation. But I noticed at the end of each one of those letters to the churches, and these are in my Bible are red because this is Jesus talking. But he wrote to the seven churches. And I noticed at the end of every letter, he said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." At every one of them. So that must be pretty important stuff. And I'm not going to go through and read what he wrote to every church, because to each church is something a little different. Some of it fits us here and some of it doesn't. But we know, each one of us knows in our own conscience, in our own life, whether we're doing right or wrong, whether we're doing what God wants us to or not, whether we're spending enough time in the Word or not. And I want to look at just like the final verses of each letter here. So starting in chapter 2 to the church in Ephesus. And Matt, maybe you could help us. He's writing to the angel of the church. And I'm not sure what that means. Okay, to the messenger of the church. Okay, or to the preacher. All right. So it's to the messenger of the church. So he's writing these letters to the pastors of the churches, the ones who are taking care of the churches, and telling them what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, basically, in each one of these situations. So take time to read through them and just understand them a little better. But I want to show you what he's saying after he writes these letters. He said in verse 7 of chapter 2, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So, if we'll pay attention, if we'll listen, if we'll hear what he's saying to us, if we'll do what we hear, and we overcome, there's a promise that in every one of these, to him who overcomes. And then he goes on to tell you what will happen. To the church in Smyrna, he says, "Be faithful even to the point of death." I'm in verse 10 and 11 now. and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. So it's not going to hurt when we die. Because we're going to live. To die here is to live forever with Him. I'm so thankful that we have that assurance. We don't have to wonder about that. And I'll just tell you, for a while I did wonder about it. As I was growing up in the church and I got saved, and I thought, am I really being good enough? I was in the Mennonite church, and there was a lot of men's traditions in the Mennonite church. A lot of things that we had to do, right. Paul and I didn't go to the same church, but we went to church together a lot when we were growing up. They were in Johnsville, we were at the Gilead Mennonite, and we did a lot of things together. It was always fun when we got together with the other church, because we had friends there as well. We made friends because we did things together. And so, but I always wondered, and then finally, I as I spent time in the Word, I realized that because He has accepted me as I am, He's forgiven me, I am His son, and I don't have to wonder anymore if I'm good enough, because I'm not. There's nothing I can do to gain eternal life, but only by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, making Him Lord of my life, the only way that we can get to heaven, the only way that we can spend eternity with Him. But he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. And then the third church is to the church in Pergamum. Verse 17, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." He will give us some of the hidden manna, some of the food from the Word. Can understand and feed on His Word. I don't know what the white stone is either. Any insight on that, Matt? All right. Give him a white stone with a new name. We're all going to get a new name when we go to heaven. And to the church in Thyatira, he wrote to the angel of the messenger of the church in Thyatira. It's a tongue twister. And in the end of it there, verse 29, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." There he doesn't add anything else but that. But this was a long letter. A lot of stuff there. Stuff that they were doing that he was calling them on and praising them on for things that they were doing right. Verse 3, to the church in Sardis. Verse 6 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Verse 5, I didn't underline up high enough here. It says, "He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." That's awesome about our God, if he doesn't take our name out of the book of life, but makes a way for us to keep our names written there. And then he goes to the Father in our behalf. He's our mediator, our judge, our lawyer. He goes and tells the Father what we're doing, how we've done this and this. And yeah, I know that about that situation, but he was forgiven. Isn't that a great word? Forgiven. To the church in Philadelphia, He wrote telling them about what they needed to do and what he's doing. In verse 11 he says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven and from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the church in Laodicea, he wrote, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." This is the church where he says, I know your deeds, I know that you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm. And we've heard this message before, and I'm not going to go into that, but he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be either hot or cold. He said, "I would rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm and wishy-washy." But make a statement. Know who you are and be that kind of a man and woman for the Lord. Verse 19 says, "Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Hallelujah. So we just got done with, didn't we? Just got done having a snack with the Lord. But he stands at the door and knocks. And if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, it says he'll come in and eat with you and he with him. "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It's very important, guys, that we listen, that we pay attention to what God's doing, that we pay attention to what He's saying in our lives, and that we live according to the Word, that we be disciples for Him, that we walk in discipleship and bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a little thing that Patsy showed me in her daily devotions, and it, what God owes us is the title of it. And the verse here in Colossians 1:10 says, "Live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." A story is told about a vendor who sold bagels for 50 cents each at a street corner food stand. It's been a while since you got a bagel for 50 cents, hadn't it? A jogger ran past and threw a couple quarters into the bucket, but he didn't take a bagel. This went on for months, and one day as he was jogging by, the vendor stopped him. The runner asked, "You probably want to know why I put money in but never take a bagel, don't you?" "No," said the vendor, "I just wanted to tell you that the bagels have gone up to 60 cents. Too often we treat God similarly. Not only are we ungrateful for what He's given us, but we also want more. Somehow we feel that God owes us good health, comfortable life, material blessings. But God doesn't owe us anything. Yet He gives us everything. It's psalmist said, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," in Psalm 118:24. That should be enough. Each day, whatever good or bad, is one more gift from our God. Our grateful response should be to live to please Him. So, I thought that was just a really good ending for today. This is, she didn't show it to me till this morning. I hadn't even planned on using it, but it fits so well with what God was doing today that I thought I'd better share it. He doesn't owe us anything, does He? But yet, we owe Him our lives, we owe Him everything, because without God, we're nothing. Without God, we're nothing. God is good. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to ask that you come up and we'll pray with you. If there's anybody here who has never accepted the Lord, I'm going to give you opportunity for that. Just to come and give your life to Him. That's really what He wants. He wants us to be His children. He's called us all. So just a matter of when you want to say yes. When you want to be His disciple and walk with Him. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come, elders to come. We do have, also I want to say that Kayla and Chloe are graduating today. So if you want to see them graduate, that's at 2 o'clock, right, Jess? At Northmore. No, I don't think he's graduating yet. You're not graduating this year, no. She saw you pretty tight and thought maybe you were going to be graduating. Yeah. Huh? I didn't think so. All right, let's sing.